Michael Brown, the unarmed black teenager whose shooting by police in Ferguson, Missouri sparked outrage and protests for days there, will be laid to rest today. Among the thousands expected to be in attendance at today's funeral are religious and community leaders from Boston. The Boston residents who've been monitoring the resulting tension between residents of the St. Louis suburb and police there are divided about whether the same sort of tensions could ever erupt here. WBUR's Deborah Becker is in Ferguson, Missouri this morning and has this report.
Chanting protesters from around the world line the streets of Ferguson several times a day, mostly at night, with several demands. They're calling for an independent investigation of the Brown shooting, charges against the officer involved, and closer scrutiny of law enforcement. Among those here is Pamela Lightsey, Associate Dean at Boston University's School of Theology.
This is about systemic racism. And I think until our country fixes systemic racism, these kinds of protests are going to keep happening.
Lightsey has been in Ferguson for almost a week, chronicling the protests with videos and photos. She decided to come here after she saw local police use tear gas on demonstrators. Although she's armed with a gas mask and has been frightened several times during some of the standoffs, she says she believes she's supposed to be here.
And I really felt a sense of call to be down here, to support black people, being a black woman, and also felt a sense of call to be down here as a scholar, to help, to really help and have conversations with people.
Dialogue about the issues raised in this crisis is what several people say they hope will continue. Danny Brick, a Boston-based actor and playwright, spent almost a week in Ferguson with a group of national artists working with the local arts community here.
And the idea is just to have mostly theater artists from around the country come here together in solidarity just to show support and witness and be here with people and start to have a conversation about what we can do as a national theater community to sort of amplify the voices of people here.
What's in many of the voices here is anger. They're demanding that charges be filed against Darren Wilson, the police officer who shot Michael Brown. They're also asking for changes in law enforcement policies about violence and the use of military-style equipment. That's something President Obama has promised to address. Another Boston-area clergy leader here says young men also feel marginalized by some of the national black leaders, and that fuels tensions. Reverend Eugene Rivers, co-founder of Boston's 10-Point Coalition and director of the Ella J. Baker House, has been meeting with clergy, gang leaders, and rappers in Ferguson. Rivers says they feel ignored by those he calls their fathers, leaders of the black community.
The anger, in particular, of the young man who said, "We've been abandoned by our fathers," is profound. And some of the rage that has been exhibited was a justifiable response, a rational response to the leadership vacuum at the national and local level.
Based on his meetings with young people here, Rivers says the violence could have been worse.
The reality is that once the tear gassing and the assault on children sort of exploded, there was a point, and the men talked very candidly about this, well, we were ready to arm ourselves.
Communication, Rivers says, is what helped prevent that. He also says that's why a Ferguson-like situation would not happen in Boston. Rivers was instrumental during a time of high racial tensions in Boston, the 1989 murder of Carol Stewart. It was eventually learned that she was killed by her husband, but first, police conducted a massive manhunt in the city's black neighborhoods and arrested an innocent black man. After that, Rivers says, clergy, police, and community leaders promised to work together.
This does not happen in Boston because there are bridges, right? There are bridges. There are controversial black clergy, there are black clergy, and it is now accepted as standard operating procedure, in less than a half hour in Boston, if there was a major incident, there'd be phone calls made to a half a dozen significant black church leaders in the city. They would meet. If it were 2 o'clock in the morning, that would happen. Now, you don't have those relationships here.
But not everyone agrees that Boston would be immune to inflamed racial tensions with police.
Yeah, so St. Louis is as racist as Boston. There's no question about it in terms of what my personal experience has been with police.
Reverend Osagyefo Seku from the First Baptist Church in Jamaica Plain has been in Ferguson for more than a week. He witnessed firsthand the violence between police and protesters that have turned Ferguson into a national symbol of racial unrest. In fact, Seku was injured running from tear gas. He says young people in Boston can understand some of the criticism of police coming from Missouri.
But the stories of youth that I've heard, like youth against mass incarceration in Boston in particular, have just told me just some of the most awful stories about police harassment.
In Ferguson, Reverend Seku's been working with organizations similar to those he works with in Boston, groups that work on social justice and environmental issues. He cites groups such as the Roxbury Environmental Empowerment Project and Alternatives for Community and Environment. He also has experience in St. Louis. He has family here, and he worked as youth pastor for the Friendly Temple Missionary Church. At services there yesterday, Seku joined other local clergy in blessing the pastor, who will be leading Michael Brown's funeral services later today. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Deborah Becker.